Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as 1798part2.org and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually talks about the tangible solutions and the things we absolutely have to do to get the federal government into complying to the Constitution and stop their reckless spending. And the only way, as you know, if by listening to this show, the only way to truly do this is that the states have to assert their authority. It's a little more detailed than that, and you can get all that information from reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have lots of content on mobiusstrippress.com as well. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP, T-O-P, TALK, T-A-L-K. And so with that, let me move forward because there's a lot of things that I want to kind of go through, and if I get Keith to dial in today, Keith Broders from the Constitution Club, kind of want to talk about because he posted an idea that I think it's been out there, but he's put a really interesting position to this, and it actually speaks to some very important undertones, but we'll get to that a little bit later. First, I think it's more important that I get on my knees and grovel. I need support. This cause needs support. This movement requires support. Listening to the show, that's a great way to begin the support and getting other people to know about this show, getting them aware so that they can start tuning in, because it really is, this is an educational show. I do not really care to necessarily juggle or balance anything on my nose or I may be a farceur. I may like to crack jokes, but I don't think that that's really what you tune in for. I think that you're tuning in for a level of information that you're not going to get anywhere else. And the fact of the matter is, we have to have these conversations that may be hard for some people to understand because they go a little bit beyond what you have learned and what you have read and what you've been told. But that is why I constantly cite the founding documents. That's why I constantly crack open the ratification debates. And I rely heavily upon the ratification debates. Why? Simple. Because in the negotiation of a contract, whenever the parties negotiating the contract define it, you know, those who wrote the contract and say, okay, this is what this means. Those who are representing the contract, when they say that this is what this means, like Madison, like Nicholas, like Hamilton, like I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Eldridge Gerry. Those guys, when they actually started to tell you what this meant and what this meant and what this meant, and they stood for certain things, even though Mason actually was a part of it, he stood for a Bill of Rights. But that was his only real reservation. He felt that the Bill of Rights had to be a part of this. He was a staunch supporter. And I've said it several times, I love that man because I loved his insights and understanding. But I will tell you that the Bill of Rights created more of a problem at the national level than anything else. And the reason it did is that people believed that that was all they needed as a safeguard from federal usurpations of their power. And obviously that was not enough. We would have been better off having the Bill of Rights implemented at every state so that the states protected themselves from these types of nefarious things, and we would have been far better off having the states create barriers and constantly watch jealously this federal government from trying to consolidate its powers. And as a matter of fact, that reminds me, I was talking about the consolidation and I need to send out that email to provide somebody. So I will do that at the next break. I will pull up that information and get that out. But anywho, if you have a computer, if you've got a phone, you can actually help. And so by, again, not only just listening to the show and learning and understanding, but you can actually help. And there's different ways you can help. If you've got a computer and phone, you can email me and you can get directly involved in doing research for your state and reaching out and becoming a networker, if you want to speak to that, or a leader. I honestly believe that what we need is leaders in every state that are willing to reach out, make phone calls and tell them, you know, hey, I'm so-and-so and have you ever heard of this and so forth. And allow yourself to introduce people to a concept that they will welcome. They will, even if they truly love the Constitution, then they will welcome this with open arms. If they are enemies of the Constitution and they basically dismiss or shrug you off, then you may want to make note of these types of things, because we need to know who these people are who want to see the Constitution saved and those people who care less. But you could be very valuable in collecting information and doing some basic research. And, you know, as we kind of peel this onion, I honestly believe that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for people to really be able to take part in saving our Constitution. Anyway, with that, you can also join the Constitution Club, because I've been talking to Keith. They're getting very active. They're getting, I want to say, reinvigorated, because they had some surges and so forth, but I believe they're at a point where they can actually start really taking some action, and we will get into those types of details, hopefully later on this week or next week with Keith. I also want to let you know that if you want to do more, one of those things that you really need to do is you need to get involved in the grassroots in your community. You absolutely should join the GOP, the Central Committee, be a PCO, whatever you can do. You need to know who those guys are that are willing to stand up and support the Constitution. And you center the party back towards the Constitution. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being the obvious voice, or the person that's stating the obvious in the room. Hey, shouldn't we be focused more on the Constitution than what's good for the party? That type of thing. And there'll be people that may not like what you're saying and doing, but those people who love the Constitution will recognize, and they will come to you and go, wow, I'm so glad you said that. You know, I never really realized that. You just hit the nail on the head. And you can find yourself in a great opportunity in a leadership role within your county. And that's where it all begins, my friends, because that's how this republic is broken down into the basic elements of this overall grand national republic. It all starts down at the county level. That is the smallest sub-element of government that we have. And so, one of those things that I also want to tell you is, as I was looking through the news today, there really isn't any sign that the federal government is going to give up any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. But it looks like they are definitely in the throes of, you know, the deep state surfacing and trying to stop Kavanaugh. You'll find that there are going to be some Republicans that are going to probably try to figure a way in not supporting him, because they will perceive him as a threat. But bottom line, if we want to get rid of the deep state, we want to clean out the corruption, and we want to get the federal government and lobbyists out of the federal government, we have to force them to do only those things that they constitutionally can do. There's no reason why health insurance companies are going into Congress, because Congress has no power and authority. When we rip that away from them, those lobbyists will go away, because they will realize that they're just barking at a blank wall. There is nothing there, and they will have to find something else that can give them movement politically. And then they'll realize that they're going to have to literally go out to all 50 states. We're not going to make it easy for them, because each state has its own sovereignty and has the power to be able to implement any type of plan and policy that they want to. So with that, I've been telling you, and I went through this again yesterday. We are literally facing this ideological war, and I'm telling you, the progressives, the secular progressives, these evil people are upping the ante. And for years, we've been really in this scorched earth phase, and now the tolerance is done. If you look at what and how they're going after Kavanaugh, it doesn't matter if they're giving you any honesty. It's just about volume. And that's all people, we can't put this guy, look at all these accusers. We are living by the rule of rumor. We are no longer living by the rule of law. One of the things I didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday was because there's this news about North Korea, and I think a lot of people find that it's really great that we're coming to this, you know, hopefully peace in the Korean Peninsula and peace with the North Koreans. I think that there's a better way to do this. And I honestly believe that Trump could really use the entire peninsula of Korea in unifying them. He could use that peninsula to poke China in the eye by just saying, why don't you guys apply to become states of the United States? And then actually turn around and basically offer that opportunity to all the states of Europe, South America, Africa. It's not like they would become a state tomorrow. There's a process, and we can get into that when we get back from the break. But I truly believe that if you want to get rid of and send the UN packing, this is the way to do it. I'm at a hard break, so I will be back after a couple of minutes and words from my sponsor. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614. Or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614, or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was saying, if you understand the Constitution clearly allows territories and or other states to split or to join the Union. And why is it that we can allow Alaska and or Hawaii? I truly believe that the framers' intent was to literally, and I truly believe the insight that the Lord gave them was to give them, to create a document that could allow the people of the world to enjoy individual liberty and individual sovereignty. I've constantly asked people, as they ponder these words, Surely America has been blessed by this divine hand of providence that has gifted our framers with these insights in creating this American version of republicanism and this framework that has allowed sovereignty to be divided and delegated very specifically so that there is almost zero chance that there would ever be a consolidation. There had to be nefarious behavior in its natural course had this nation abided by the framework of that Constitution instead of people lying and self-aggrandizing their roles like John Marshall and so forth. There is no way the federal government would have been able to centralize all of these powers that they possess today. Had we all learned and understood the Constitution, the federal government and America would be in a completely different situation. And I do not believe the UN would ever have been created. And I truly believe that America would probably be offering, and we would probably have states all around the world, because I believe that was the intent, is that all people should be able to enjoy individual liberty. There are processes that a country has to go through to become a state. Speaking English actually is one of those. It was a requirement that the state, you know, have a standard in language. That is why California, in the California Constitution, clearly states that the official language is English. Yes, that is exactly what you'll find in, I think it's Article 2 of the California Constitution. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where you'll find it. Bottom line, once the state obtains this condition of currencies and so forth, they would literally then become a state and they'd be born into this union. And then that day would be, I would consider, sacred for that particular state. Now, that brings up a different issue, but I won't delve into that. What I want to do is kind of talk a little bit more about Google, I guess the CEO is going to be speaking to Congress, and he's going to be talking about why they're playing these censorship games. But unfortunately, I do not think, and I hope Congress does this, I hope they actually approach them as to why is Google helping China do all of these human rights violations and helping China basically subjugate their people. I honestly believe that Google and the other global technology companies are truly a threat to our liberty and to humanity, and we need to learn how to deal with them. I have said that the federal government constitutionally should actually incentivize companies to be open, to not filter, and to encourage open dialogue, freedom of speech, freedom of religious expression, and those types of things. And if they go down that path of filtering and that type of thing, hit them hard and hit them where it hurts, because levy taxes on them to say, well, because you do not subscribe to, you know, this these American ideologies, then we're going to levy these taxes on you. One can also say that if you look at the national security, that Google actually poses a threat. Amazon actually poses a threat, and Congress really needs to reevaluate the fact that Amazon is keeping all of their secrets. Amazon, if you look at their Amazon Web Services, every bit of information is now in their cloud, from all different sources of components and if you want to call them compartments and different security levels, from unclassified to SCI. This is the proverbial putting all your eggs in one basket when it comes to information. Isn't that interesting? Well, anyway, there is merit in investigating and actually holding these guys and having some good detailed conversations. But I don't want to talk about that all day. I want to get back to a conversation and a content, or some content that I think is very illuminating. And the reason this is coming up today is because I was speaking to a leader of a different organization that is, I've been kind of suiting this organization, these different leaders, to try to get behind the Republic Review and this concept of auditing the contract. And they have a committee meeting, this leadership meeting. So all of the leaders from around the United States are meeting this weekend, I believe. And they have a position that is against the Convention of States. Now, this isn't the big old organization that's out there that just says no. This is a different organization, so I don't want you to confuse. There's a few different groups that are anti-conventions, but I'm trying to get them to take the approach of, instead of saying no, actually having a counter argument and say, why do you want to make a change to something that really doesn't have a defect, and the changes that you want to make will not solve our real problems. So, as I've said before, I actually have four terms. There are the conventionites. These are the folks that are promoting the convention. Then you have these people called the anti-conventionites, and these are the people that are against the convention. And then you have the unantied conventionites, and these are the folks that have not really cared either way. It doesn't matter. They're either apolitical or they're just, you know, not that maybe they are political, but they just haven't really investigated, so they haven't made a decision on it. And then there are those that are, I will call them the nefarious group. They are those that the conventionites are denying exist, and I believe that they are hiding in their ranks, that want to do real evil things when they get this convention started. And there has been, because there's no doubt, this is the convention process, and this concept has been out since the 80s. People have been talking about maybe an Article 5 convention, and I believe there have been a couple of judges like Scalia in the 80s. He actually argued for it, and then later on he argued against it, because things have changed. Because we've really started to see the evil of the deep state, globalism, and that type of thing. So, the conventionites, as I look at this group, they reek of desperation, avarice, machinations for nefarious purposes. And those who I have talked to, I've actually talked to some high-ranking people, some people that have left the organization, and some people that are in the organization. The bulk of the people in the organization of the COSP are those at the state level that are trying to support this, are really good people. They are just, you know, they're desperate. They think that they got to do something, and they're correct. We have to do something. But they don't recognize that what they're doing is actually and potentially going to cause some real serious problems for saving the Constitution down the road. So, one of the things that I have learned from some of these directors, former directors or what have you, is that there is no intent in really trying to produce an ultimate solution to the Constitution. There is more evidence that what they want to do is create a perpetual convention, like a perpetual body, like a fourth branch of government or an independent government union that literally exists outside the federal government to kind of, you know, be a check against the federal government. And if you understand in the Constitution does not allow the states at this point in time to create and or form that type of treaty or organization. It's Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1, where the states are not allowed to create treaties and or, join together in anything else. And I'm not necessarily a fan of that particular part of the Constitution, but bottom line, what they're trying to do and the direction that I understand they're trying to go, because what they are talking about is not about hard amendments. They have discussion topics that they want to pull the states together and say, let's discuss these topics. In other words, they want to make a boondoggle and spend a lot of money and time and force a long duration and creating a bureaucracy. And if you understand how the framers approached, you know, government and making changes, they never took a long, well, let's, you know, chew the fat over this over the next 20 years. No, no, no. They actually had ideas. Before the Constitutional Convention convened, Madison had the Virginia Plan, period. There were ideas already. If these people were really honest in their intent, they would probably already have, you know, like the balanced budget amendment is one of those things that was a real legitimate amendment that people were throwing out. Now, would it solve anything? Absolutely not. All it would force is the federal government would be able to, or be forced into limiting what it can spend its money on, but it doesn't keep it from spending unconstitutional money, or I should say money on unconstitutional things. What we have to do is get rid of all the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And the audit is the only way to do that. So when we come back, I'm going to get back into the conventionites and the anti-conventionites. And then we're going to talk about some processes. So I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. The thing I see the most about the conventionites, before I move over to the anti-conventionites, is a lot of the people that are playing in this, whether it be Mark Levin and or Jim DeMint and some of these big names that have kind of come into this, some of these folks may not be looking to try to create a perpetuals, but some of them may have this intent of trying to go down in the annals of history as somebody that actually amended the Constitution. The reason we are talking about the 17th Amendment so much is how Wilson had undermined, and you got to understand that the 17th Amendment, as it was driven by Wilson, it's not supposed to. It's supposed to really be driven by the states and Congress. Same thing with the 16th Amendment. And so people that tend to want to drive amendments, whether they think they're for the noble intent, they end up becoming and having nefarious consequences. And so a lot of times it's not really about the Constitution. It's more about that person that is joining and trying to, you know, go down in the annals of history with their name attached to that. And right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't think that that is how the framers acted, and I don't believe that the framers, as a matter of fact, if you study them, they did not want their faces on money. They did not want to be recognized as, you know, anybody other than public servants, and that's exactly the humility that those men had. The anti-conventionites, the people that are against the convention, there are a lot of people that are just, you know, really just scared of opening up the Constitution. I truly believe that opening up the Constitution is just, it's not necessary, but I truly believe that taking the approach of saying, no, 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 that's just dangerous and reckless, we are literally at the verge, at the precipice of a collapse, and you have to have a plan to get us off of this edge, to get us back to safety. And just saying no is actually supporting the status quo, period. You have to provide those folks that recognize the desperate situation. All these people that ran off and joined the Tea Party, all of these people that recognize how dangerous the situations are, they're not wrong. I'm telling you, we've got 2 to 5 years left. There is not enough time to move forward with a convention of states. We could get Republic Review and the audit process started in a matter of a month, or actually in the matter of a year or two, literally. I mean, we could, with the Lord's blessing, if we could, all we need is Wyoming, and Wyoming is actually a lot closer than most people think. It's just a matter of letting them know that there's actually something that they can do instead of just wishing that they could fix this problem. And the majority of the people in Wyoming want to fix the problem. It's just about information and getting the message to them. So I just want you to know that the anti-conventionites are usually those, and there's a very old, large organization that has literally got themselves into this structure of relevance. And if you understand, it's almost like unions, it's almost like the NAACP, something that was created because, you know, there was a real threat way back in the 50s, and there was. Bottom line, if you look at some of these organizations and you say, well, look at how far we've slid into communism under your watch. I don't believe you deserve an A or a B, maybe a D or an F. If you deserve a grade, if you're asking for a grade, you can't get a good grade because we've slid this far. The point is that what America and what we all need and what I believe America is thirsty for is that solution. It's that nectar that will solve this problem. I challenge you to tell me how Republic Review won't solve this problem. Now, you anti-conventionites, you, those of you who haven't really made a decision either way, whether you support it or against it, and you just hear these people and you go, I don't care. You have to care. You have to recognize. You must understand that we do not have a lot of time. I gave you a good show yesterday. There's plenty of evidence out there that says we only have a few years left. You need to get involved. You need to take a side. Don't sit on the fence. Don't be lukewarm about this. We need you. And that's about the best way we can approach this. As far as I am concerned, the nefarious group, those people that are out there, there's no doubt that Soros has been looking to get people involved in trying to get rid of the Electoral College, to move the presidential election to a popular vote. Those people are showing up at the Convention of States. There are other groups that are trying to take what they call a common sense approach and showing up at the Convention of States. And so, just so you understand, that when this convention of state opened up, it is going to create a circus where some of the players for Soros will be able to inject themselves. The real problem I have with the convention of states is that, one, it will not solve the problem. Everybody that I ask that supports the COSP, give me the one amendment that will, you know, solve the problem and shut down the Department of Education, Energy, and all the unconstitutional departments. Give me the one amendment. They don't have one. And that's because there is no amendment. Those are violations of the Constitution, and we have to enforce it. So clearly, the only solution really at this point in time is forcing compliance to the Constitution. And so, as we kind of, you know, debate this back and forth, I want you to kind of chew on that and look at that to consider what we got and what we're doing and so forth. Really, what I am looking at, and as I have talked before, I've talked about these organizations that are supporting Republic Review. Let me kind of list them again. The Constitution Association is, they were the first ones on board. That's a very small organization, but they've got a good reach because Douglas Gibbs has a radio show and so forth, and he's perpetuating what the Constitution Association's mission and so forth. The next group that came on board officially was Freedom Force International as G. Edward Griffin. And it's not like they're directly supporting me, but they're very supportive of what we do, and they're supporting the concept of auditing and forcing compliance to the Constitution. The next group that joined in, and as I said this before, it's the We the People Foundation with Bob Schultz. They are on board 100%. The problem that they're dealing with is that they are straddled with court processes that have literally stifled them since 2011. They're constantly replying to discoveries of facts and so forth from the court, and are unable to really do anything until this last final court process ends. And so just recently, in working with Keith Broders, we've actually been able to, you know, coalesce and kind of create an alliance with the Constitution Club. And so what I'm wanting to do, and what I've talked about in my second book, is bringing the organizations like the Oath Keepers, bringing organizations like the Three Percenters, organizations like the Tea Party, even the GOP, those who are centered on the Constitution. And I say the GOP because the majority of the people that vote Republican, that are a part of the GOP, really want to be centered on the Constitution. They don't really, most of them don't care about party. They don't like the fact that the party is destroying this country. It's the parties, the uniparty is destroying this republic. They don't like that. And so what we need to do is get them to wake up and start focusing on this, centering on the Constitution. And so there are some processes that I want to talk about. And actually, Keith is on the line. He's been sitting here waiting patiently. And I appreciate that, Keith. One of the things that Keith brought up today, and I've kind of talked about this, I mentioned that we need to start having tests. And Keith kind of brought up this concept of certifying. If you want to become a politician that is going to serve in a legislative capacity, right, Keith? You're there?
I am.
Okay, good. Thank you for joining us. And we've got about a minute and a half, but you talked about a certification. You want to talk a little more about that?
You bet. Here's the thing that is important. If you have a problem, let's say that you have cancer, are you going to go to a plumber? Are you going to go to an electrician? Are you going to go to somebody that is trained, somebody that understands the principles of the thing that you're dealing with? You know, we have insurance brokers who are experts. They are very extremely knowledgeable on the principles of real estate. And we have stockbrokers who are excel in their knowledge as far as the stock market is concerned. And yet our politicians basically are not certified at all. We have to register our dog, but we don't have to register our congressman. This is absurd. And I think that after speaking with you earlier today, I think that what we should do is we should go to all of the people who are running for office, and we should ask them, what can you show me that you have the credentials? What the credentials would be that you've actually studied the Constitution, that you've taken courses from Hillsdale College, you've taken other courses on the Constitution, you've listened to videos from Chris Ann Hall and other constitutional scholars.
Hey, Keith?
There needs to be, yes.
So we got 3 seconds left. So before I have to cut you off with a bunch of loud music, let me just cut you off there. And then when we come back from the break, I can pick this up with you. Because bottom line, I think the end goal, and you can think about this, and everybody can think about this, I think what we have to do is we have to start setting expectations for our politicians and those who think about serving. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned again, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let me bring Keith back into this, because as we were going into break, I kind of put threw this out there. I think the ultimate thing that we're looking for is setting expectations so that those who are serving us know what we expect them to do. Is that kind of the overarching thing?
Yes, it is. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is the fact that if you take the hungriest lion on the planet, that hungry lion cannot eat an elephant by himself. But if we have literally tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in this country, and if we unite, we can be like an army of ants. And an army of ants can eat an elephant in 2 or 3 minutes. And what we need to do is we need to bring people together. Now, what we find right now in our country is something that is pretty unbelievable, and that is that the major party in the United States today of registered voters is the decline to state voters. There is roughly 47% of all voters decline to state because they are absolutely frustrated and fed up with the Republican and Democratic parties. And so, frankly, what we need to do in order to restore this republic, we need to engage that 47% to basically support the principles of republicanism and to distance themselves from the progressives and from the people who would like to promote socialism. So that is something that is extremely important, and that's what the Constitution Club is all about. We have, for many years now, we've been basically sharing the idea about the problems. We've been talking about problems. Well, recently we've come to the conclusion that the time has come to stop talking about problems and to start focusing on solutions that can be carried out at the grassroots level. We have many, many people that would like to be engaged, but they have a sense of hopelessness because they don't know what to do or how to do it. And that's what the Constitution Club is going to be trying to do, is to organize organizations at the county levels where the people can come together on a common county website where they can learn and they can decide what it is that they can do. And right now, my position is, I believe that every person that really cares about the Republic should contact all of the candidates who are running for public office and challenge them to demonstrate that they know what they're doing. They need to take courses on the Constitution. And I'm suggesting very strongly that they take courses from Hillsdale College. Earlier today, I was talking to GR, and I was saying, well, we ought to make this a requirement that you cannot run for office unless you've become certified. But, you know, I don't, like GR, I don't believe in licensing per se, but I think that any person who is legitimately interested in serving his country would certainly understand the importance of knowing the contract and understanding the principles upon which our country was founded. And so, basically, I think that we need to harness the power of the people at the grassroots level to force the elected officials, or the candidates, rather, to become experts.
Right.
I would suggest right now that if you went to Congress and asked them some very basic questions, ask them the question, which of the articles of the Constitution is it that defines the role of the Supreme Court? I'll bet you that the majority of the members of Congress couldn't even answer that question.
Right.
You could ask them how many articles are there in the Constitution, and I don't think they could answer that. This is ridiculous. We have basically hired a bunch of garbage men, frankly,
unqualified people
to perform brain surgery.
Right. Well, so I think that what you were talking about in certifying, I think that there is merit in the idea, America or this republic has, you know, divvied out sovereignty for every state. So if a state wants to go down the path of making it compulsion of certifying politicians, if you want to run, you have to be certified as a legislator. If you want to run as a sheriff, you have to be certified. And the reason I was against that in talking with Keith earlier, as he mentioned, is because what that does is it creates a barrier to entry, and it only protects unions. It protects those dolts that, you know, really don't want to see a lot of competition, and they want to be able to have either a monopoly or, you know, the way to control labor, pricing, wages, and those types of things. So anyway, there's merit, though, in this. And there's also, to look at the other side, there's actually a process currently that each of the parties supposedly have a vetting process. A lot of counties may not even apply a vetting process, especially for the primaries, but a vetting process is a way of verifying whether somebody is qualified for the job. Don't you agree with that, Keith?
I absolutely do. I think that that the local committees, before they vet their candidates and place their endorsements, I mean, if you have a candidate who knows the Constitution inside and out, and you have another guy that doesn't know anything, obviously the parties would tend to vet the people who are most highly qualified.
Right. You would think so. But I've actually seen in some of these pseudo-conservative counties that the county leadership actually does not like the guy that really touts the Constitution, because they're more of an establishment where they put the party over the Constitution. I truly believe that the people of those types of counties, if they knew what was going on, would be really upset, because most people recognize that we're in this problem. We have this mess because the parties have put themselves over the country and the Constitution and have basically pushed us all aside. So
one of the things that I'll mention here is that a lot of times the central committees, the people that they endorse are the people who are the best fundraisers. They may know a lot about how to raise money, but they may not know anything about the principles of liberty.
Right. Right. But getting back to that comment that I had right before the break of setting expectations, because we got a little over 4 minutes. Setting expectations is critical. And as a matter of fact, if you look at businesses create goals. And I think there is nothing better than when a candidate is elected. And I've said this before, and I'll throw this out to you. when a candidate is elected, or right after the election, the central committee of every county, because their bottom line is these candidates are wearing the label of that party. The Republican Party should have a meeting at the end of November, a special meeting to go through and say, does this guy really represent us? And if we don't think so, or if we do think so, we need to set expectations so that you basically make it very clear what you want that person to do and what you don't want that person to do. That way, and you, so what you do is you basically send a letter to each of the candidates saying, congratulations, you won, but we want you to vote this way. If there's federal funding that comes in for anything, we want you to vote against it. Basically start telling them of what you believe are the expectations of supporting the Constitution. And as you start spelling this out and you clarify all of this, that candidate either is going to abide by that, or when they come back, they'll have to defend that position and not get your endorsement again. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think so. Another thought in regards to congressmen, they have the power of the purse. They have the ability to prevent the president from creating agencies and bureaus and regulations, etc. They have the power of the purse. They can refuse to fund these things. For example, OSHA, the EPA, the NDAA, all of these different alphabet soup agencies, and the BLM can all be terminated if the Congress would basically step forward and just say, look, the Constitution does not authorize us to spend money on these things that are not listed in Article 1, Section 8. And frankly, we need to make our elected officials, congressmen, know that if we were going to follow their voting record, and if we see that they have voted in favor of things that are not authorized in the Constitution, they are not supporting the Constitution, but they are violating the Constitution, and we are going to hold them accountable at the ballot box in the next election.
Right. And so one of the things that I think is really important to keep in mind is that the party can make and or break that candidate, especially when it comes up for re-election or for their first election. If you actually have a vetting process, if you actually have these tests and you put it out there and say, bottom line, this is what we expect you to do, and they don't do it, the best way you can lay them off is when they come back before the primary, the party, that central committee needs to send out a message to all of the Republicans of the county, we are not endorsing this candidate anymore.
And another thing that we can do is the John Birch Society has a magazine and a website called The New American. And if you go there, you can see the voting records. They basically evaluate each congressman so that you can see that this guy voted 77% in favor of more government, more unconstitutional action, and this guy's 23%. And they give you a ranking of all of the congressmen and how they're voting in regards to supporting the Constitution.
Right. We got about 30 seconds left. Any parting comments?
Just come and join me at the Constitution Club.
ConstitutionClub.ning.com.
Ning.com. Thanks, GR.
You bet. No problem. I'll reemphasize that. So, folks, it's ConstitutionClub.ning.com. And I know, and we didn't get a chance to talk to Keith, and I hope to have him back on, because what he's going to be doing down the road is he's going to be laying out a plan for you in how you can engage with the 17th Amendment and guarantee clause issues, and bringing to light these issues regarding, you know, constitutional compliance and getting us back to a Republican form of government. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. We'll have Keith back on again. And again, God bless. I'll be back tomorrow. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.